It is 4 minutes past 8 o'clock. You are listening to The Morning Magazine. It is Friday, September 9th of 2022. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. I am your host, Rosanna Longo-Better. Coming up on today's program, we will learn more about Motus Theater coming events to provoke community conversations. Then we will hear from a traveling magician who will be bringing his robot and punk rock show to the Dairy Arts Center this weekend. We will go to the .org segment. And finally, we have Sports Talk, our weekly regional sports roundup. At 8:30, it's the BBC, and then Connections comes your way. As always, the phone lines will be open. And then at 9:30, Meredith Carson will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still ahead, but first, these headlines with Christian Garibay.
The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment's Air Pollution Control Division will implement a new set of tighter requirements for general permit operating applications. The applications apply to smaller causes of air pollution and come ahead of an imminent Environmental Protection Agency designation downgrade. The downgrade, which will take effect sometime this month, moves Colorado from being in serious non-attainment of federal clean air regulations to severe. The CDPHE's new regulations precede standards that the EPA would have automatically tightened once the downgrade is official. These include tighter regulations on the state's small businesses and crackdown on other pollutants, including adding a gas tax for drivers. According to a new state report, Boulder and the St. Rain Valley School District rank at the top of Colorado school districts. The reports use test scores and graduation rates to evaluate school performance. BVSD was only 2 points away from earning the highest state rating this year. Most of the schools in the BVSD have done well for the state. Some schools that were struggling in 2019, the last year that the state conducted the survey, turned around their performances. BVSD said in a press release it will work to provide more support for the three middle schools with the lowest rankings, which include Angevine, Broomfield Heights, and Casey Middle Schools. Both districts are currently still deciding if they want to appeal any of the rankings for schools with lower rankings. Colorado will be opening 10 large-scale vaccination sites over the course of the next weeks in order to administer the new Pfizer and Omicron vaccinations that were produced by Pfizer and Moderna. The sites hope to administer up to 4,300 vaccines daily to younger demographics who may not have gone around to updating their boosters. Two of these 10 sites have already opened up at Ball Arena in Denver and Mesa County Community Services Building in Grand Junction. Three more sites will open up today at Citadel Mall in Colorado Springs, Front Range Community College in Fort Collins, and Pueblo Mall in Pueblo. A friend of a man who was shot and killed by Nine News Security in 2020 is suing the company. Jimmy Searfoss reports.
The night of the shooting, Stephen Wright claims he suffers emotional trauma and emotional distress after witnessing Matthew Doloff, an unlicensed security guard who was employed by Isborne and hired by Nine News, shoot and kill his friend Lee Keltner during a protest in 2020. The shooting took place during a clash of 2020 protests that led to a heated exchange between Doloff and Keltner. According to witnesses, Keltner escalated this dispute when he sprayed mace on Doloff, who then pulled a gun out and shot him. Stephen Wright filed a lawsuit against Nine News, Pinkerton Counseling and Investigations, and Isborne Security Services, LLC. Doloff was initially charged with second-degree murder, but the charge was eventually dropped after it was determined he acted in self-defense. The lawsuit claims Nine News acted recklessly in hiring Doloff while he did not hold a security license at the time. Wright is seeking both economic and non-economic damages and has requested a jury trial. Nine News has not made a comment on the pending lawsuit. For KGNU, I'm Jimmy Searfoss.
Boulder County won a legal dispute this week with RTD over the suspensions of multiple bus lines during the time of the pandemic. The ongoing battle ended with Boulder County gaining almost $35 million from RTD. The money gained will be used to implement an alternate transit service as well as revive old bus lines, such as the Flatiron Flyer. There is currently no word as to when these transportation lines will be implemented. Expect lower temperatures all throughout the Front Range today, with slight chances of rain in the night. In Boulder, a high of 66 and a low of 46. In Denver, a high of 70 and a low of 49. In Fort Collins, a high of 65 and a low of 47. For KGNU, I'm Christian Garibay.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I am your host, Rosanna Longobetter. Joining me now is Motus Theater producer, director, Rita Valente Quinn. Please tell us, what does Motus plan for these coming weeks?
So Motus has a lot of programming on the docket. Just in September, we have three performances. We have a Motus playback performance, and Motus, I'm not sure if listeners are familiar with playback, so I'll explain a little bit. Playback is an improvisational theater form in which the audience tells a story to the actors, and the actors reenact that story on the spot using metaphor, spoken word, or dramatic spoken word, and movement. And it also has music underscore. So we invite everyone to come to the theater and share a short reflection or a story and watch it being performed by a group of actors. What is special also about this this project and this performance is that on stage you'll have professional actors who have been doing playback for a very long time, but you'll also have a group of diverse actors that Motus is currently training that who also are on stage performing these stories. And this is very special because in Colorado, mostly, you know, playback actors are usually white and cisgender. And so we are wanting to diversify the actors that are knowledgeable about this form. And through that also hope to diversify a little bit the audiences that come into the theater to share their stories. So that's Motus Playback. And that's on September 10th, so tomorrow at the Dairy Arts Center. And then on September 17, we have a very special community event and performance around the Constitution. So the performance is happening on September 17, which is Constitution Day, at the Louisville Center for the Arts. And it consists of a community dinner with reflections about the preamble of the Constitution, a performance of the Justice monologue by monologist Candace Bailey. And for those who don't know Just Us, that's a autobiographical monologue project from Motus Theater, where we collaborate with people who experienced incarceration to help them tell stories about the racism and injustice of that they experienced in the criminal justice system. So they'll have the performance by Candace Bailey with musical responses from Spirit of Grace, who listeners might know because they perform widely in the Denver metro area, but also because they participated in, they collaborate with the Flowbots. And then we also have responses to Candace Bailey's monologue from Dr. Raylan Rebaca, who is the director of the CU Boulder Center for African and African American Studies. Again, September 17th, 6 p.m., Louisville Center for the Arts. And finally, still in September, Motus is very honored to have been invited to present Just Us monologue from Joaquin Mobley at a Fair Chance Hiring event. In fact, the inaugural Fair Chance Hiring event, which is produced or hosted by the Latino Coalition for Community Leadership with the Denver Startup Week. What is special about this event is that it's also hosted by the Attorney General, Phil Weiser. And so people who attend this event will listen to Joaquin Mobley's story told by himself along with a co-reader. That co-reader will be Jason Mendelson, who is the former VC at Foundry in Boulder and the author of Venture Deals, with musical responses by Spirit of Grace. And afterwards, people will also listen to a panel that is going to be hosted by Attorney General Phil Weiser, with Ken Oliver, the executive director of Checkered.org, Letitia Murphy, an associate vice president with Jobs for the Future, and Polly Fields, an advisor with Next Chapter. Joaquin Mobley himself, he is the vice president of Community Works and Modus Theater Just Us Project Strategist, and Jason Mandelson. As I said, he's the former VC at Foundry in Boulder and the author of Venture Deals. So that's what we have just in September. I could go on, but I know that you probably have more questions for me, Rosanna.
Well, it is fantastic. I think that one of the things that I want to ask you is this idea of improvisational theater. I think it is so fantastic. So pretty much people go there and they share their stories. And you have an actor, a professional actor, creating these, like stepping in their shoes. This is beautiful.
Yeah. It's a very special form where people, you know, and people can tell stories that are sad or happy. You know, they can be anecdotes. They can be, you know, tragical things that happen to them. And what is beautiful about seeing your story reenacted in front of you is that you get to process it in a different way. You get to laugh about it, you get to cry about it, and you get to do that in a space also of community where other people who are watching the story be reenacted might actually think, I have experienced something like this or a feeling like this before, even if it's not the same situation. Or it might be an opportunity for people around you to actually learn another perspective on a situation, on a given situation. So it's a very special form for the person who shares it, but also for community building.
For community building. And now that you're bringing diverse actors, I think it's going to be super, super special. That's Saturday the 10th. Then you have, like you were explaining, also Saturday the 17th, this big event, and you know, this coming together of the monologist and the director of the Center for African and African Studies at CU Boulder, highlighting the Constitution Day. I think it's super important. Why is that something that Motus wants to emphasize?
Sure. I mean, we think it's important. So in fact, as I said, the performance is on September 17th, which is Constitution Day. But this event also pulls on another date. So I'm going to tell listeners a little bit of a story. It's on September 22nd. We actually celebrate the 160th anniversary of the Battle of Antietam. The reason why this battle is important is because it was the bloodiest day of the Civil War in the U.S., but also in U.S. military history. And it prompted President Abraham Lincoln to issue a preliminary Emancipation Proclamation, which announced President Lincoln's intention to free enslaved people within the states in rebellion if those states did not return to the Union by January 1st, 1863. And since those states did not return to the Union, the Emancipation Proclamation was announced on January 1st, 1863. So we are celebrating and reflecting on not just Constitution Day, but also on the Emancipation Proclamation. And it's particularly important at a time when we are experiencing so much divisiveness in our country and also so many challenges that that the world and our nation in particular is encountering: global change, weapons of mass destruction, migration due to climate change. And so we need to think of our own leadership within our communities to face the divisiveness in our country despite our political leanings, and also facing these challenges in the world. And so we come together. The invitation is for people to come together as we the people, right, to reflect on, as I said, the preamble of the Constitution, listen to Candace Bailey's story about how she experienced the criminal justice system and what kind of leadership is necessary to reform that system. and get us thinking about how do we show up in our community and in our country to face the challenges that are in front of us.
How we show up. And if you want to find more about the events that we were just talking about, you can go to Motus Theater website. Thank you so much again, Rita. I have been speaking with Rita Valente Queen, Motus Theater producer, director, about their upcoming performances. You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I am your host, Rosanna Longobetter. We will be back after this quick break. Thank you. A mix of magic, theater, and STEM education is coming to the Dairy Arts Center this weekend with a performance by Mario the Maker Magician. Veteran magic performer David Blaine calls Mario the best kids magician in the world. But this combination of DIY, electronics, and punk rock is for all age groups. KGNU's Claire Purnell spoke with Mario the Maker Magician on his way to Boulder.
How did the idea of a magic show centered around DIY robots, science, and magic come to fruition?
So I guess it's just my journey and my passions. Like, I fell in love with robots and I fell in love with magic. And there's a history with mechanical things in magic called automata, where they would mix like a mechanical device that you can walk away from and it would perform a magic trick. And that blew my mind. And I just spent the past 10 years just mixing robots that do magic to make kids laugh. And it's been this fun evolution.
Where did you start, with the magic or with the robots or both?
Yeah, no, I in high school, I played in a crazy loud punk rock screaming band and made no money for a long time, but I always was performing on stage. And I think that helped me build a foundation of my character. And I also wanted to be an elementary school teacher. You know, when I went to college, I did a year of college, and I fell in love with magic accidentally. And then next thing you know, I was doing magic shows on the weekends, and it just kind of evolved. Like, I think I believe every person has to do where they have the most fun, you know? And for me, being on stage and performing for family audiences is where I have the most fun. And it's been a really fun journey.
So you're on tour now. Give us a sense of what all is part of a road act for a traveling magician. I mean, there's a certain mystique about traveling with a circus or with a rock band, but what does your road show routine look like?
Yeah, so we travel as a family. I think that's the biggest thing that separates us from a lot of performers. I have two kids, a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, and we road school in the car as we drive from the East Coast to the West Coast, and we try to make it fun for our kids. So we wrap around our schooling around the destinations that we hit. And also, we have a lot of stuff. So we look like a crazy circus when we pull up to a Holiday Inn, you know, like we take all our stuff in and we take all our stuff out. You know, we've had a lot of crazy things happen. We've had our car broken into last tour. It was devastating, but the community that we've built helped us rebuild some of the robots that were stolen. And it's a crazy world. And it's been fun just watching how the community and our fans have supported us as we continue doing this.
So are your kids part of the act?
Yeah, so my daughter Gigi, she's 10. She does lighting when the tech people at these theaters allow her to, you know? And so she'll be doing the house lights on and off. And my son Bear, you know, he wears all black. He's like back there striking things off of the stage. And he helps at the end of the show. We do a big party at the end with 6-foot balloons that we toss into the audience. And he's out there, you know, protecting my stuff while the balloons fly. Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, it's hard sometimes too. Like, you know, we have long drives and like, you know, they want to get out. And so what we did yesterday, we did our homeschooling. They did really good. Gigi loves antiques. So we saw this giant market that had like 140 stands, and we surprised them. And we, you know, they went out shopping for an hour. And, you know, that's part of the game. It's part of the show, you know, is making sure everyone's happy.
So it seems like your shows have a lot of characteristics that make it unique. But from what I can tell is you really enjoy what you do. And I feel like that always shows up amazingly on stage. So would you say that's what makes your shows unique?
I think you nailed it. I think as I get older, I realize that like the magic isn't always the fooling, you know? I think the magic is the excitement. And I think people are attracted to excitement. People are attracted to passion. And that's what I hope, is that the show is always fresh.
That's a great segue into my last question. If your audience could leave your show with one message or idea, what would it be?
Well, the end of the show is this, you know, it all wraps down to do what you love, use what you have, and have fun. And if we can circle around those three with every decision we make, powerful things happen. You know, I'm going to say one last thing is that Boulder has always been so good to me. 20 years ago, I was hitchhiking. I was a stinky punk rocker with my dog and my guitar. And there was an old coffee shop called Macy's Cafe. And they welcomed me in. And the people were so kind. And that's what it's about. Like, no matter what stage you are in your life and how old you are, that we just always have grace, you know, with every single person that comes in. We all have a story to tell, you know, and I'm still telling my story all these years later. So tomorrow, Boulder, we have two shows. It's going to be a punk rock party, robots, magic, and inspiration. I hope to see you guys.
Mario the Maker Magician will be performing this Saturday, September 10th at the Dairy Arts Center here in Boulder at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. For KGNU, I'm Claire Purnell.
Knock, knock. Who's there? KGNU. KGNU who? KGNU better tune in to Sports Talk with Jimmy on Friday mornings. This is how we lose listeners.
Welcome to Sports Talk. I'm Alexis Kenyon in studio here with Sports Talk host Jimmy Serfoss. Jimmy, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello. Thank you for having me back.
So, Jimmy, what do you have for us this week? What's the big news in Colorado's sports world?
Well, as you may know, in the sports world of Colorado, running is a massive part of the recreational side of it. Lots of people do it. You're going to see a lot of 5Ks. The Boulder is massive. We see it every year. And then there's marathons. But what do you know about ultra marathons?
Nothing. I know nothing about them.
Well, sometimes they're called ultra running, and it's a minimum of 50 kilometers, which comes out to 37.6 miles.
Wow.
The craziest part about all of this is that it's not always on roads. They go more on trails. Now, these trails go in forests, mountains. A lot of national parks host these kind of races, and it's a massively growing sport. So according to runrepeat.com, there's been a 345% increase in participation in the last 10 years. And the amount of people that are running this, the kind of people that are running this, are probably not what you think. The average age of the runner is 42.3 years old.
Wow. That is not what I expected.
No, exactly. It's kind of a hot spot in Colorado for this sport. There's actually a race going on today in honor of 9/11. And get this race is, weirdly enough for being Colorado, is considered a really flat course. So it's happening in Longmont right now. And there's multiple options of the kind that you can run. There's the 5K, and then there's the 100-mile race. And then there's a race that just goes for 9 hours and 11 minutes, and then one for 24 hours.
How is that possible?
I don't know. Now, one of the biggest stars in this race, in this running world, is Colorado's own Claire Gallagher. So Gallagher is 30 years old, and she's currently living in Boulder, where she's attending the University of Colorado because she's trying to pursue her PhD. Trail Runners magazine's Zoe Rahm called her a trail running superhero. And she's been doing it for a while, Gallagher has. She was a cross-country athlete at Cherry Creek High School. She did really well there. Now she has won the Leadville 100-mile race, the 100-mile-long Western State race, and the 101K CCC race. Now that CCC race is actually a European race, and it starts at 3,000 feet of elevation. 80% of that trail on that race is unpaved. Her most recent win is at the Aspen Backcountry Marathon. She not only beat all the women in that race, she also beat all the men, which is not super uncommon in these trail running races. A lot of the times, the women and the men, it's such a long distance that eventually that gap really closes.
I was wondering about that as you were telling me about some of the champs.
Yeah, so according to her website, She had the fastest known times at the Zion Traverse race, which takes place in Zion National Park in Utah, and the Joshua Tree Traverse, 36.3 mile long race that Joshua Traverse is, and she finished that in just 4 hours and 46 minutes. That, of course, is also through mountain terrain.
Wow. Wow, that is impressive.
She's known for her environmental activism. She brings that along with her races. A lot of these are nature-based courses, and so she's big on preserving things like that. That's what she's going to school for, helping the environment. But knowing all this, you want to go for a jog?
No. All right. Well, thank you so much, Jimmy. I always learn something from your Sports Talk segment, so I appreciate you being here.
Be sure to tune in at this same time next week for the next episode of Sports Talk with Jimmy.
Time now for .org, KGNU's weekly look at local nonprofits.
Hi, this is Chris Schultz with KGNews.org, and I'm here with Katie Doyle Myers from Philanthropies.org. Katie, you want to tell us a little bit about your organization and what you guys do?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I have the incredible honor to serve as the executive director of the foundation. And overall, what we do is pursue a just, equitable, and sustainable world. Philanthropies would like to ensure that all folks have access and opportunity. And we know that systemic barriers exist. And Philanthropies wants to be part of removing those barriers. So our key strategy of doing the work we do is through collaborating with community members and community-led organizations. So something that we're really engaged with here in Boulder County is a financial health course that was co-developed with a number of community members from the Boulder Housing Partners organization. It's an 8-week course that talks to people about systemic barriers to building wealth. And when we say building wealth, we mean even having a checking or a savings account and, you know, financial products that are in your primary language, connecting them very authentically with resources in the community that are going to help them to meet their dreams, whether that is supporting someone in purchasing their first home or in starting to save money for their children's education or starting or growing a business. We're meeting them where they are and working with them. And our work in Mexico is really centered around financial inclusion. So ensuring that all people have opportunities to save and to improve their lives. And one of our core programs in Mexico is called the Community Savings Groups. A community savings group is a group of typically from 10 to 20 and sometimes more community members who trust one another, can make small loans to one another. The interest stays within the groups. The groups typically have a social fund, so they use that to support a community initiative or a person in need in their community. Our work in Mexico is 100% led now by a full team of incredible local leaders. We're not in the business to own programs and try to serve a million people, you know, but what we are in the business of doing is helping to really spark positive change. And a lot of times it's just removing some barriers for that to be able to happen. And that's the work of Philanthropies.
How do people who are interested in what you do find out more or get engaged with you?
Definitely by connecting on our website and reach out. And even if it's just to say, hey, I want to be connected in racial justice or economic or climate justice, and I don't really know how to even start, send us an email and we'll give you some ideas.
You've been listening to .org, KGNU's weekly look at local nonprofits. For more .orgs or for more information on this episode, visit news.kgnu.org.
And that's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I have been your host, Rosanna Longobetter. Special thanks to Alexis Kenyon, to Christian Garibay, to Claire Purnell, Chris Schultz, Jimmy Serfos, and Jack Armstrong for all their help today for today's program. Stay tuned for Connections.
Support comes from Brock Media's Boulder Magazine. The fall issue features